Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and pulling out one of my favorites, actually, especially as far as like easier going games goes, Century and It's Spice Road, New Wonders, and Eastern Wonders and New World. That's what
you got it. You got it.
And the Golem Edition.
Oh, and Golem Editions. We're about to start seeing by what they announced. Our good friend of the podcast, Donnie, happened to back the original set, and they were like, oh yeah, we're never going to go farther with Golem Edition. And then he just got an email that was like, Golem Editions of Eastern Wonders and New World coming soon.
I'm pretty sure Eastern Wonders is already on the shelf.
It might be. It was a while ago he and I were talking about it.
Gotcha.
But it's, yeah, all of those should be getting...
I like how they keep changing their mind, because they're like, the Golem Edition is going to be Kickstarter only. We're not going to do anything other than Kickstarter. And then they're like, well, actually, it'll be exclusive to our company. You have to buy it on our website. It's the only way you can get it. And then they're like, well, actually, we're going to do a retail version of it too.
Yeah, and he Kickstarted it hoping to get the full trilogy into Kickstarter for it. But either way, we'll get down into that road. This week, I have my lovely George.
Well, hello.
We have the lovely Hannah.
On to Bee Boops.
And we have our lovely Chrissy.
Hello, hello, hello.
We have all of our people.
Holla, holla, holla.
Holla, 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 holla.
So I've played at least a good chunk of Spice Road and Golem Edition. I still own Golem Edition at home. I actually I'm about to trade in my copy of Splendor for... to just keep my Century Spice Road. I like them. They're very similar.
They are.
But I like the deck building aspect of Century Spice.
Yeah.
I'm a deck building guy. I really like that. And it also, in my opinion, helps keep from the Splendor problem of, damn it, Hannah, you have all the blue. I need like one, man. And you're like, no, I'm saving up for that six drop, man. Leave me alone.
It's my blues.
Yeah. And so I like that distinction. What's everybody else's experience with it?
We actually all got together. Well, Drew wasn't there because he's a loser.
Because I have my own projects at home.
I know. But we got to play last night, actually, and I had never played it before, and it was super, super fun.
Yeah, super fun game. First time I've ever played it was yesterday.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the art on the cards is absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I was worried that it was going to be complicated, but it's such a simple game.
Once you get going, yeah.
Yeah.
Like round two or one or two, you're like, and by three, you're like, oh, this is the entire game.
I do have to mention I beat Butt yesterday.
Yeah. You kicked our butt.
One whole point.
Oh, yeah. No, it was
one whole point. Those are the best ones.
Yeah, it was
But
great.
It was some random, like, super high number. Like, I got 94 and you got 95. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
And I was down in the 80s.
It's still, for the first time that you guys both played, like, you guys, you picked
it's
it up
so
like
funny.
Nothing.
Regardless, though, winning was, like, fun, sure, but, like, it was so fun just to play it. It's just a fun, like, collecting game, you know?
Yeah.
I half the time forget I'm playing with other people. Like when playing like the Century and Golems, is the fact that more or less it's about what I'm working on in front of me and kind of people interacting in the middle. But for the most part, like for me, it's normally like, oh, I'm pretty focused on just doing me.
I think we didn't really pay attention until we got to the end and we're like, oh my gosh, we have five contracts each.
Yeah.
And it takes one person to win this. So eventually all of us were just like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I kind of...
Give me the biggest bang I can get right now.
I kind of forgot what, like, the end goal was. Like, I was just having fun, and then George was like, oh, man, if one more of you gets a contract, and I was like, oh, no! I wasn't paying that much attention.
We had, like, one round by the time we noticed that we were so close to...
Yeah. If I had just, like, grabbed that one contract, like, because I was like, oh, I could get that one, but it's only worth, like six points, and so I'm going to save up for this other one, and then George was... And I traded in a bunch of my little blocks.
So I guess just for context for those at home, the game of Century Spice Road is a spice trading game. And you start out with a couple of very basic resources and a couple of cards that you use to trade the spices in and upgrade them.
And grow them.
and grow them.
That's the important part, is growing them.
Indeed. And then there are different contracts. With the four qualities of spices, there are different cards that you score points on that basically are your point engine. Like Kirstie and Hannah were mentioning here, once you get five or six of them, depending on how many people are playing, that is when the game ends, and then everybody finishes their turn that they're on.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, I like the everything about these games. I'm a much bigger fan of the Golem editions, because that's really where they did, like... put in the money.
I wish I had held out for the Golem editions, but they said they weren't going to do the rest of them, so I'm like, no, I'll get the ones that I can actually expand.
And that's why I was like, okay, I guess I'm just playing Spice Road. I'm cool with that. I really want to try some of the other ones, but I also figured it's supposed to be more or less a reskinning, so if I really wanted to, I could get Eastern Wonders and just play Golem normal and Eastern Wonders together.
Yeah.
That's actually why I'm excited for the Golem editions to come out, is this is... I've been following this game since we started, like, it got announced and started talking with it. Donnie and I both got really hooked into the idea of it, because it is... a series of three games. Each are played on their own. Each can be combined with one of the others, and each can be combined with all three of them, creating whole new crazy monsters of a game. And I really want to try that, because I really want to do rum trading and spice trading. I want to feel like I am playing Dune.
So the separate games are not just spices. They're other things as well.
Yeah, so Eastern Wonders is supposed to be their barrels.
Okay.
It's rum.
It's rum.
It's rum.
Okay, okay.
But, yeah, they're doing rum, and then the new world is pelts.
Okay, cool.
Like, trying to highlight... Essentially, what they kind of did was go around the world with it and try to highlight some of the, like, oldest markets that we've kind of had. Like, the spice trade in India has been a thing for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they kind of moved their way into, like, okay, well, rum became one of those really big things that changed how the world functioned and how we shipped stuff.
You know what I would have loved to see?
Hmm.
The silk trade in the Orient.
That would be beautiful cards for sure.
Could you imagine how...
There's just so many games that deal with silk trade. I think that that's what they were trying to go for, was like, what is a known resource that people do, but when people don't really make games about.
That's fair.
Because, like, I can only think of a few rum games, and most of them involve you drinking rum versus playing with rum, essentially. But then the third one was pelts. Could just being like, oh, well, that kind of brings us over to the whole other side of the world. You know, new world, here we go. Yeah, pelts, you guys ate things over there.
Fur traders.
Yeah. Well, that was a really big market over here
for
a long time.
The fur trade was huge.
And that's why I really want, though, to try Spice Road and Eastern Wonders together, though, because I want to feel like I'm on Arrakis.
Yes.
Well, and you mentioned it while we were playing last night, but I really appreciated the rules.
Yes.
Because the rules for it are literally just one page back and front. And they're, like, not even full-size pages. They're, like, the little card pages.
Yeah.
They definitely, they do a good job at using the space efficiently. There is quite a bit of information on that front and back, but you can't really beat one piece of paper.
No.
And then if you combine the two, then it's two pieces.
Right.
Because it's like, here's the base rules and here's the rules for this game where you combine them.
Yeah, I was going to say, and half the one sheet of paper is the rules to help you add on to the other games.
Yeah.
So you've got like a page and a half for your actual gameplay.
I was super impressed. Shout out. Once again, we love you, Brandon, from TAG.
Woo, Brandon!
He let me borrow Eastern Wonders and A New World expansions to Century. And then, you know, it didn't really cross my mind until Chrissy and Hannah were actually hanging out playing the game that they'd need to, like, learn how to play the first one first before we could play the second and third ones.
And we didn't have the time to devote to, like, sit down and play all three of them.
Yeah, I mean, you guys had just gotten off of a long day of work and stuff and had other things
to do.
Yeah,
I wasn't even at home doing my own thing. I was here.
Yeah, you were actually,
You were. You were here.
I was stuck here.
That's right.
I'd have totally come over for that if I wasn't stuck here. I'd have been like, yeah, I don't start till later in the evening for a reason. So I can go do things and still do this.
But, like, after everything, I was continually impressed by the fact that each combination of game has one piece of paper for the rules. Mm-hmm. Front and back, every single different combination is a single sheet
of rules. It's just so nice.
It's amazing.
Well, even the game itself, like the cards don't have anything written on them. They're very like, here is how these work.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're somebody who doesn't like to read the rules, you could pretty much learn how to play the game. Maybe not correctly, but like with the cards itself.
Yeah.
Because they're just colored blocks. Here's what the colored blocks do. You can exchange them. It was pretty basic just looking at the cards and figuring that out. Because I don't know about anybody else, but like rules sometimes just are just walls of text.
Oh, so, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
I do best learning a game when I'm actually playing the game, because you can put a thing down on me, a sheet of paper in front of me that's like, oh, when you play this combination, you pull two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
That means nothing to
absolutely me nothing,
yeah. until I put the card down and then somebody's like, hey, grab two blocks. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Yeah. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Exactly.
If we've never thrown this advice out, gone are the days where reading a rule book cold is the best way to learn how to play a game. YouTube is your friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like every time.
The amount of time I now get to save, one, with the dumb brain that doesn't like to always function with me. The fact that I can go essentially have somebody read me the rule book these days and give me that quick 10-second visual, I don't read a whole lot of rule books anymore. Like, especially to anything that's got 2 or 3 pages. I'll watch a video on it and call it good. Like, I don't think I ever actually read the rules for Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah.
We watched a go-through of it. I was like, oh, this is stupid easy. Okay, done.
Like, don't throw your rule books out.
No.
But, you know.
You need them for your reference pages.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's always what I end up using them for, is being like, all right, reference page, got mm-hmm. it, go.
Those weird rules that come up that you're like, can you really do this, though? Are we breaking the rules?
Right.
Usually those
Where
are good
does that land on the stack now?
Indeed. But yeah, anyway, just, I know we've said that before, but I figured it was worth throwing out there again.
It really is. As the guy you were saying, it's a wall of text. I had to read the Dark Souls rules by myself.
Oh my God.
I had to read the Horizon Zero Dawn rules by myself. Like, I buy a lot of really big games with big rule books, and I am used to having to be like, okay, buckle in, kids. This is my night. I'm reading.
Let's slog through this.
Yeah. And it's nice that YouTube's even starting to get some of those guys. Like, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Those are both Steamforged, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is her name?
Aloy?
No. Geek and Sundry Girl, who does the board game reviews.
Oh, Becca
now.
Scott?
Yeah. She does a, like, half hour, 45 minute long how to play Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, cool.
And that was really dope. They're actually giving her a lot more production, and I'm glad about that.
Nice.
She's super cool, and she's very good at, like, blunt work. Here we go. This is how it functions. Don't worry about past that. This is where it gets flowery. Worry about that.
She's been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, and it's just nice to see. It's nice to see somebody in the gaming industry hit YouTube, because there aren't a lot of board gamers on YouTube. We're getting to be more, mm-hmm. but, you know, heck, even 5-6 years ago, there wasn't that many. There was lots of battle reports, you know, of like Warhammer games and things like that, but there wasn't a lot of people sitting down being like, okay, we're going to play this game and like kind of show people how to play it and sit here and just play it. There weren't a whole lot of those, and it's nice to see that. I mean, Tabletop with Will Wheaton, is pretty sure what helped start cranking that.
Oh, yeah.
But,
God, just on that note, if you're ever looking to expand your knowledge about board games, and this is advice for literally anybody, watch that like it's homework.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
show is amazing.
I learned so many different games, and I learned to not buy so many different games.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day when I did my stint as game buyer at AU,
mm-hmm.
I watched a bunch of those, just so that I could be like, oh, you like this kind of game, let me recommend a game for you.
Yep.
Games that I never was planning to play,
right.
But I was like, okay, cool. I know how this works now.
That, I mean, and even telling somebody that you've, you know, like watched that episode, or, you know, like done like a bit of research on it and like learned about a thing, it helps people like understand that you maybe know things about board games. I don't know. It's a great educational tool for anybody that wants to improve their knowledge about board games in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
so
just,
good.
It's perfect for being like, hey, I just need a little information. You know, I know lots of friends that have, you know, anxiety and the things of the sort. And a few of them, if I just had been able to say, hey, go watch Tabletop before you go to game night, you mm-hmm. kind of have a rough idea of the games that you think look neat. You have an idea on some of the basic terms people are going to use, you mm-hmm. know, like it would have just helped a lot of my buddies when they were trying to get into board gaming and hanging out with other people. To have that small little ref, just that small little bit, even if they had watched 2 or 3 and been able to be like, there you go, here, push in.
That is one small piece of salt that I have about Geek and Sundry, I'm sure Will Wheaton does too, is that like when they had their falling out between, you know, Will Wheaton himself and the company that is Geek and Sundry, yeah, like he kind of lost the rights to be able to keep making that show, which was a huge bummer.
Yeah, but it is a huge bummer, but I also heard that he was pretty done, but it was because of how Geek and Sundry was running it. Yeah. So it was one of those, who knows if we would have gotten more if he'd had his own right to it. But one of the things I appreciated is they always showed like the art to the cards and all the art and things like that. And that Century Spice is one of those games that's really beautiful as far as its art goes.
They've got the tarot-sized cards.
It's a little brown.
Well, I mean, Century Spice, it's set in the desert.
I was going to say, it's nothing against it. It fits the motif. That's part of why I like Golem Edition more.
That's fair.
It is straight up fairy tales.
Instead of having... Well, and then as you kind of have to do, or you generally will stumble onto, the bowls of spices kind of look like taco ingredients.
Yep.
It's always back to this.
We were building tacos all night.
It was great.
We were building tacos.
Turns the way you laughed, I don't know why that got me. It took me into a whole different headspace. I like Golem Edition because it's these almost... They're a little too saturated for it, but it's almost watercolor.
Ooh.
Like just with how they're all soft. It's all soft. It's very saturated, but it's super soft. And that's what I love about it, is that they're just these cute little adorable golems, and they're always like a couple people around and them just trying to like help out. Like golems carrying giant handfuls of pretty little gems, and then just these humans walking next to them, like one hand on their side, just trotting along. And you're like, aww, this is an adorable game. How can nobody love this? And then instead of taco pieces, we get these beautiful semi-translucent colored gems that are all sorts of wiggly and squiggly. It's meant to be like a raw cut of the gem. And there's, instead of trying to get X spices to get X contract, essentially, theirs is to get X gems to hire or to summon X golems to their village to like help protect it and help work with them and things like that. Like, it is super cute comparatively. Where it's like, no, get me my spices. Here, I gave you some jams. Will you help me get more? Yes. Yay! You know, like, and I love it. They're so cute. It's got a very, Dixit.
Okay. That's
closer, a little more tightened up in the less
not
fuzzy,
not so watercolory,
line,
but yeah.
But a little bit more, yeah. But it's a solid, like, oh, it's just so pretty. I love that game. I love their cards specifically, and I love the color palette they chose for it. Because with golems, you could also go very brown, very gray, and they managed to, like, every golem has a patch of grass.
Aww.
Like, that's just the best way I can think of it. Everybody's got a small patch, even if it's like, oh, we gave him knee pads as fields, or little field knee pads. Everybody gets some green.
That's so cute.
That is really cute. Yeah.
So in Century Spice, when you lay out the contracts, there's a pool of gold coins and a pool of silver coins. Does Golem do the same thing? Okay.
Still there.
Okay.
Same role.
Still getting money.
Yeah, that's why I was like, if anything, I would go buy Eastern Wonders and just mash it with my Golem Edition.
Yeah.
One, as much as I like the taco pieces, that's what I'm going to call them from now on. They are no longer cubes.
Yeah,
they are taco pieces.
Cheese and tomatoes and lettuce and meats.
It's canon.
It is.
But instead
there's no actual rules.
God damn it, now I've lost my train of thought.
Sorry, taco pieces.
Taco pieces. No, it's gone.
Eastern Wonders.
Yeah, even though I like the taco pieces, I really do like the gems better. I like the feeling and the tactileness of those a lot more.
They're probably easier to grab out of the thing, because
they
have more edges.
I was having such a hard time with that. I was like, give me the stupid little pieces.
Yeah, no, I like them for that. And I could just mash them together and play either way. I am now just waiting for the Eastern Wonders Golem Edition, which I don't even know what they're going to call, if they're still going to call it Eastern Wonders.
We should.
They called it just Century Golem Edition. So
after the cast, we need to go downstairs and check, because I think we might have the second one. I think the third one is the one that's on deck, because that came out a couple years ago.
But then I just need to wait and get that one so that I can start mashing them together, because that was what I was the most excited about. I was like, wait, it's a game by itself. Yeah. And this is a game by itself. Yeah. But I can mash him. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
really cool.
But will it blend?
Oh.
So
the answer is yes.
Just to give a quick nutshell version of the differences. Spice Road, like we've been mentioning, is just like a card game. It's like a card exchanging game where you collect cards and you collect spices using the cards, and then you fill contracts. And it's all card-based except for like the spices themselves. Eastern Wonders adds a board that uses the same kind of trading mechanics that the cards have in Spice Road, but they put them onto spots on a board that you can use with little ships that you send around. And then you can combine those two by having like a pared down version of the board. So you have like less spaces on the board, but then you also have access to the trading to the cards themselves. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So it blends those two that way. What I'm less solid on is the third one, A New World, and then how it'll translate into the Golem Edition.
Yeah.
But that one adds a worker placement mechanic. So you have little worker guys that go around to different spots on the board.
That's really cool because that takes you in these weird increments. Like I'd have almost put out two and then one, then three, if that makes sense for little launching.
Yeah.
Purely because that gives you almost a full evolution of like a 4E game.
Oh yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah.
Because you start, like if we had started with Oceans first and then gone, I guess Marketplace works fine too first, but we get this Marketplace. Now we have this travel style system. Well, now we have both of those, and then you add in a worker placement. That's most of a 4E game is worker placement, managing your resources. Like that's, I think that's three of the 4Es at least.
It just leaves out the exterminate.
Yeah, I think that.
Which makes sense.
Which a lot of 4E games at this point do.
Yeah.
Like unless it's a combat oriented 4E game, most things, I think at this point, exterminate has broached over to your fellow player of like, that's who you're trying to exterminate. Outgrow that person.
The competition is the extermination.
Yeah.
The competition.
Well, like Warhammer, Blackstone Fortress, I think is what it's called. Yeah. Blackstone Fortress. It's a 4E game, essentially. It's a dungeon crawling 4E game where you have to go through, but there are a shit ton of enemies for you to actually eliminate. But I've noticed that more and more games are pulling away from that as their 4E and more being like, okay, no, we want more resource management, more Terraforming Mars, less Blackstone Fortress.
Sure. Yeah. God, I love Terraforming Mars.
I haven't played that one.
That's one either.
That we're going to get together, play, and then episode about.
It's crunchy.
I play Mathfinder.
Well, that's fine.
I love the crunch.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely one of the most strategic games that I like. I just can never play too many times.
I need to get back on board. I still want to find my copy of Phoenix Seed because the art on that, I think, will blast Hannah away.
I do love me some pretty art.
Well, and I picked up one of the ones that's like one of the prettier games they've done. Like they've done Street Fighter several times. Mm-hmm. I think they've just gone through a slew of theirs. It's a side scroller fighter with cards. But they did Street Fighter. They just did Shovel Knight. I think they just gave their base an actual pack, not just the expansion pack that they had done for it.
I think you're right.
A couple other fighting games. And the one I picked up was called BlazBlue, which is a anime-inspired fighter.
Okay.
And it's just the beautifulness of anime, but you get to fight dirt. And you get to actually like side-scroll fighter it.
Huh.
It's one of my favorite fighting games. I still think I have my PS3 copy because I'm afraid they're not going to bring it to PS4 or 5. I'm very hopeful they do, or give us a new one.
They said that PS5 was supposed to be completely backwards compatible.
I don't believe that either. I do not believe, especially because BlazBlue did not get a following here in the States. Like one of my best friends showed it to me in high school and I was like, what is this? And I started trying to like look up tournaments and stuff and people were like,
That's going to come through great in the recording.
Yeah, I hope it does.
So I don't know, maybe we should run through, I mean, the rules for Century Spice are not difficult at all.
No.
But for those listening, since, you know, maybe you haven't played, it's pretty straightforward. We were saying there's resource cards and there's contract cards, and you basically have two decks, one's with contracts, one's with your resource cards, and you lay out a certain number on each one face up on the middle of the board that people get to choose from, and you have to work in a certain order. We had ours all backwards. It was kind of weird. But you lay out the cards for your resources. You can choose to pull a card to put it into your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to play a card to get resources and change resources. Or you can take a rest to recuperate your hand. basically. You get to keep the same hand the whole time. You don't discard anything, which was what threw me off really hard. Because I'm so used to card mechanics where you draw and discard every round. Draw and discard every single round. And so it kept losing track of like what was going on because nobody was discarding anything. And I was like, oh, is it our turn now?
Get to a point where like you have so many cards in your hand, you don't need to get any more. You're like, okay, if I keep reusing these, I'll get everything that I need.
Yeah.
Once each of us had three or four contracts, like we almost didn't buy any more cards after that, which was weird, but that's typically how those games end up going, because everybody gets their engine of what they have in their hand kind of up and running, and you can
build the engine.
And you have four different kinds of spices, and they're all worth different amounts of points, which we figured out from the point cards.
What were the seasonings? It was turmeric, saffron. Cinnamon was like the most expensive, and what was green?
Cardamom?
Yeah.
Or taco seasoning and all that other stuff.
Yes.
I like cardamom green. Cardamom's yellow.
Yeah, but
I think it is.
It was green in the.
They could have picked like pretty much anything. There's a lot of green herbs, but
yeah, that's why I'm like, but cardamom's so.
But the cardamom seeds, when you pick them, are green tinted.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. No, I was just like, there's so many other like vibrantly green spices you could go with, but
yeah,
there's green curry.
Yeah, cardamom is an ingredient in green curry, though.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's just a weird choice to me.
It is a weird choice. I thought it was a weird choice too. But
if their seeds are green, then all right, I'll take it. I was like, I always think of it as like a yellowy brown.
So all the contracts require different combinations of different colors to get them, to pay for them. So the whole point is to get your resources, trade your resources up and down to get the colors you need to get those contract cards.
Always up. Never trade down.
Sometimes you gotta trade down.
Never.
You just need more spices.
You just make more spices.
But sometimes you trade like a cinnamon for like four... I was going to say cheese. This is awful. For turmeric.
Cheeses.
And a slice of avocado.
Or whatever you wanted the green to be because you kept changing it.
I mean, that was the one I was trying to go for. I needed the yellow and the red, and I had a bunch of cinnamon, and I was like, well, so I can trade my cinnamon. I had like four different cards in my hands that let me trade yellow for cinnamon, just straight up.
There you go.
I was just like, cinnamon. I still lost, though, but, you know.
Yeah, but if you would have gotten, I know that there's a couple really big contracts with cinnamon.
I got
five or six.
I got two of those.
Yeah.
It was a very high point scoring game, I feel like. We all kind of were kicking ass.
We were all a little hungry over those gold coins. I think we emptied out the gold coins pretty quickly.
Yeah. So,
we did.
Earlier in the day, I had just gotten done learning and playing Ramen Fury.
That game is so much fun.
It's so much fun, but it made me so hungry.
And then here we were talking about tacos the whole time.
Exactly.
Ramen Fury and Ramen. Yeah, I can't play those games on an empty stomach. I actually just went and bought some cup noodles, some fancy cup noodles. Oh. I'll have to send you a picture of them. They're really good, actually.
Are they kind of like the curry ones?
They're a different company. They're like Sea Dragon or something like that. Okay. I found them at the grocery store near my house, and I had never seen them before, but their spicy like tonkatsu one is dope. And their chicken one actually comes with like really good roasted garlic oil.
Huh.
Like nice. I went to go open it. I was like, what the heck is this? And I finally like busted it open and got it a little on my finger and tasted it. And I was like, this is really good garlic oil.
Nice.
Like this isn't, I really expected it to be like maybe some garlic with some oil in it, and not like actually they actually did the process right of cooking garlic in the oil.
Nice.
But I got those just for playing Ramen and Ramen Fury so that I could like have myself a cup of, I'm like, this is a disappointment ramen, but it's better than no ramen.
True.
George and I were talking and I was like, it's the same reason I can't play like Sushi Go.
Yep.
Like, because I always just want sushi when I'm playing that game.
I want to play Sushi Go, but I want to have all the ingredients at home.
Like set up next to, so like when you draft that certain card, you can get to take like a piece of whatever, like,
yeah.
I can't think now. Every sushi name is escaping me.
Nigiri?
Yeah. Yes.
Just
tuna.
Slammin.
Slammin. Mackerel.
Yes.
Mackerel's gross. I don't care who you are. If you like mackerel, you're a little weird. That, it is the fishiest of fishes I've ever had.
It's a very fishy fish. Oh,
the only thing
George.
That gets more fishy and sea-y, in my opinion, is like when you start getting into shellfish.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that because I like sushi, but I like very specific types of sushi. Mm-hmm. And I would not, if I was playing Sushi Go, be able to be like, oh, I played this card. Guess I'm going to eat a piece of this. Nope. I would be like, I'm never going to play this card because then I'm going to have to eat a piece of this. And that's disgusting.
I just want to be able to make whatever I make.
Yeah, that's fair. We should just get sushi and play Sushi Go.
We should.
There you go. Yeah,
we should just get like one of those big sushi platters and just...
But I want to.
Well, I mean, you can make it for us. There
around
you go.
Here disappoints
me. Porque no los dos.
Yeah.
I actually found some tuna finally that I'm like not disappointed in. I made tuna steaks out of it and was like, I can make sushi out of this.
Welcome to Game Cabinet. We talk about sushi.
Yeah, if you're hungry now, go get Taco some sushi. George.
This is the food corner of the Game Cabinet.
This is the food corner of the Game Cabinet. Hey, what is gaming without your munchie snacks?
It's true.
I really now want us to play, is it called Under Pressure? Pressure's
Under
On?
Under Pressure.
It's one of the cooking games we have downstairs that we've had on the shelf.
Is it a crockpot game?
I think it might be a joke towards the crockpot, but I don't think it's actually a crockpot game. It's got a dude in like a chef's coat and hat, and it's like overcooked, under pressure, something like that.
Huh.
And it looks terrible, but I really now want us all to play that and have just a cooking episode, essentially.
That would be great.
You'll have to point that out to me. I don't know which one you mean.
Yeah, we might not have it anymore. Okay. I mean, with COVID, people did like suddenly scramble towards weird games that they'd never heard of before. And
that
did happen.
But I'll show it to you.
The Icewind Dell game that I run, we do potlucks every session because we only meet once a month. So
that's the way to go.
We all do potluck stuff and we have good food while we play.
That's awesome.
It's delightful.
If I played in person, I would totally do that. I play online every time I play D&D.
That means you just get to have your own potluck.
Yeah, that's true. But then I have to make the food. I can't have other people make the food for me.
We've done all meat nights where like everybody just brings a meat dish, which was great. We did baked brie. We've done mac and cheese nights.
Next time we have session, I want to try to do a fondue, but with au jus instead.
Ooh, yeah.
And you cook your meat in it.
I mean, that's still technically fondue.
Is it still fondue?
Well,
it's a broth at that point.
It's a hot pot.
Yeah, that's more what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know if it is an actual hot pot, but I'd expect it more.
It's not fondue. It's called something, though. Like, it's...
Fondue adjacent.
But I want to do one of those, because I think that that'd be fun, especially for Witcher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those medieval settings always lend themselves to having good food.
Good meat.
Well, and I've got a bunch of... I've got the Elder Scrolls and the D&D, like, official cookbooks and stuff like that. Nice. And so I should start making more food out of that for us.
If you're a fan of both games and food...
cookbooks are where it's at, man.
There's a ton of cookbooks for, like, every fandom out
Skyrim
there.
Skyrim has one.
Doctor Who has one.
Yeah. Pokemon. There's a couple different Pokemon ones.
Okay.
I saw the most disturbing.
Morbid. That's
I saw the most disturbing Bulbasaur baked good I had ever seen and felt bad about it. Was like, I don't know if I can eat that.
Considering that like half...
Like I'm eating a small dinosaur.
I was going to say, considering that like half of the Pokemon are like vegetable adjacent, that's terrifying.
Well, you know, what do you think they eat?
Are there vegetables?
They commonly make jokes about eating Magikarp.
What else is a Magikarp good for?
Becoming a Gyarados.
Mm.
That's why you catch him at high level, though. You go catch him at like level 42, 43, and you're like, yeah, I only got to grind out one or two levels with this dumbass.
With this stupid fluffy fish.
I hate the grind. Or you get really lucky, you're in the water, you're at 1%, and it's raining, and you're the strongest Pokemon in the entire game.
Or just go catch the red Gyarados. Like, don't even worry about it. Just bypass the fish altogether.
No, I gotta get the fish.
All right.
Gotta get the fish.
Catch them all.
Actually, they had to take that off their box.
I know they did.
That makes me laugh, and it's their own fault.
Because it's virtually impossible to catch them all these days.
Yeah, when they went to do... No, when they did red and... When they did, right before they did Leaf Green and Fire Red, I think, it was those two. They had just had a giant event in, Oh, it was somewhere like really central. Like they were trying to be able to like make everybody kind of have to travel. Either way, they had a giant Pokemon event that was like, come here, play and do all the sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And you could get a Dragonite there.
An exclusive one.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
You couldn't get Dragonite in the game. It was literally a code. And it was like how we kind of do it now with the delivery system where sure. like you can go in and be like, oh, do I have any mail? And it's like, oh, here's a free Pokemon for you.
Right.
Like, I got a bunch of crap when I was playing via that way, essentially. But yeah, when they did that, they literally had to take it off the... They had started printing the boxes with Gotta Catch 'Em All and then realized, like, maybe a quarter of the way through production that they had to kill those boxes and print new boxes because you couldn't catch them all mm-hmm. because Dragonite was now out in the world but not available to catch. And I was like, that's... Why did you do that to yourself?
They didn't think.
Yeah.
Somebody got fired.
Oh, for sure.
I hope. That was like the whole point. And I mean, nowadays, yeah, you can probably catch them all at this point with the more availability, especially with Pokemon Go being a thing and being able to like that and what Sword and Shield you can transfer over to your Sword and Shield game. So
yeah, that is kind of wild that they actually started doing that where you could transfer from Pokemon Go into actual games.
You can.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you do have to make it like 3/4 of the way through the game.
But that's still like
You can go down to this little shop and essentially connect your phone and get everything set up and you can send Pokemon from Pokemon Go over.
Mm-hmm.
I actually managed to like beeline it there, wiggled through some areas, ran from a lot of fights and kind of got over there and was able to get my Mewtwo for a while.
Oh, wow.
And I just sent that over, but it comes over at like level 1. But I had one of the crazy Pokeballs that you could walk around with, and it leveled it for Sword and Shield instead.
Yeah.
I showed up a couple days to work with it just on my hip because I had my Mew in it.
Oh, nice.
And we're just like, I'm going to borrow this.
Yep.
I got to ask the boys where they put that because I'd really like that because I still have Sword and Shield at my house. It was one of the few games I was like, oh, yeah, this is totally your guys' game.
So since we've spent the last half of this episode talking about food and or other things.
That's typical for Game Cabinet.
That is. It is. It's very, very typical. That's how we function here.
But either
way.
So
good.
Century Spice.
Final thoughts. Closing comments.
6 out of 10.
Is good.
Wow.
There's lots of room for improvement, but it's a good game.
I think it hits really, really well because it's a game it's got enough strategy to it that weird, you know, crunchy rules oriented people like Drew and I like love it still, like up to a certain degree and maybe varying degrees of love, but it's so easy to teach.
Yeah.
The rules are so simple that it is like one of the fastest games to just pick up and play, even if you've never played it before.
Yeah.
It is one that goes in my bag every time I go literally anywhere that I'm like, oh, I might play board games here. Cool. I bring like, I think to the last employee game day, I brought like Cosmic, couple other games that were a little big like that, and then it was like Century was my first pick, and then I picked like the Umbrella Academy and started trying to figure out what smaller ones I wanted, but Century's almost always my first.
It was so fast and so easy.
It does not take long to play at all.
Not even a little bit. And I feel like even if we weren't playing with George, like even if we had just sat down to play with people who didn't know how to play, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It would be super easy. I think we spent 15 minutes or so like just kind of tripping over the rules for a second, just trying to explain how they worked.
And I had zero idea what I was getting into.
I didn't either. So, yeah. Like,
it had even been, God, it had been probably well over a year since I'd played it too, maybe even more. But even so, like, yeah, like 15 minutes is pretty accurate. Like, we were all like up to speed and like playing the game by that point. And that's not an easy thing to accomplish with most games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it.
It was very good.
I got a little bit. If you pull enough cards, I do have like the overwhelm brain with it a little bit because I had a lot of cards in my hand by the end, and that's a lot of like stuff to sort through. And I get like, yeah, I had like 5 cards that I was just consistently using over and over again. But it was like, should I use this one? Should I use this one? Should I use this one? Like, it's too many options. Too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my biggest like hang up with it, but that's easy enough to get over.
Yeah. Well, and I do wonder in the alternate timeline where you took that cheaper contract to wrap the game up, if that would have swung the points. I feel like it might have.
I think it would have put us a little more on even ground. I think you probably would have still come out ahead because you didn't take another contract by the end.
No, I hadn't.
No, that's true.
But okay. It would have taken.
I got like a 17-point card or something like that at the very end. So, you would have definitely won.
But there would have been a little tiny piece of king making on your part.
Because I would have only been. I think that would have put me up to like 89 or 90.
Yeah,
and so I think you still would have come out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It was a delightful game.
It was. It was really, really fun.
Good stuff. Yeah. Would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would recommend for
would
sure.
Would recommend, And I've recommended it to a lot of people because mm-hmm. I've heard great things about it from everybody I know who plays games, who've mm-hmm. played it. They're like, this is a great game. It's super simple. It's super fun. And I'm like, cool. I've recommended this game to a lot of people. Now I can recommend it with a little more confidence.
Yeah.
Now I don't have to be like, well, I've never played it, but I've heard. I can be like, no, I sat down and played it and it's super fun. Like,
mm-hmm. Any awesome. Final thoughts, comments, or concerns?
I think you should buy it.
I'm concerned they're not going to get around to the third Golem edition.
Definitely have to play the Golem edition.
That's fair.
Ooh,
the second one is definitely out.
I think they'll get around to the third one.
I'm worried. That's my only concern.
You know, I think they'll get there. It's been popular enough.
Yeah.
I feel like...
This is one of the few games I don't have something negative to say about it.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite games I'll also rip into. This is one of those ones that it's like, there's nothing... It does exactly what it's supposed to. Yeah. It's a good game. You burnout's a little quick on it if you play it a bunch.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
But as long as you leave it as a here and there game...
Well, if you combine it with the other games, too, it's just like a totally new game, almost.
Yeah.
We'll have to give those a shot.
Yeah.
Brandon, I'll return your copies of your game, but I might ask to borrow them again in the future, or just buy them myself. Who knows?
We just need to get together with Brandon.
Yeah,
and Brandon. Have a game night.
We should all play Brandon, if you're listening. It's not like there's a night where you come by the store twice a month and play games in our cafe.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, totally don't do that.
Hey, listeners who are Tri-City locals, tag Tri-City Area Gaming hosts game nights in the Caterpillar Cafe.
Every other Thursday.
Every other Thursday.
I want to say
second and fourth Thursday.
So nice having you up here for that.
Yeah, it's the second and fourth Thursday of every month. And they also do a GMing night where game people who mm-hmm. are maybe into more of like being the leader in games can come together and learn. I don't know if that's actually an open thing, but I think it's an open thing.
It is.
It's been going.
It's been going.
It's like once or twice a month.
I think once a month.
It's actually going.
It's on like a Tuesday usually.
We advertised for it for a really long time and it didn't really happen for a while.
It's
one of those ones where people have like, yeah, that's the thing, and I'm like, is it?
Yeah, it's like a Tuesday, and sometimes not many people show up. So maybe like, yeah, if you're interested in leading games, definitely come by. I mean, check out the Facebook.
I got to go to the first one that they hosted, and it was super fun. Yeah. It was great. It was a lot of like really cool people.
Everybody's
to talk
very
to.
Nice.
Really nice people. Mm-hmm. Love them. But yeah, you can also, if you want to check our events calendar, you can go to advunderground.com/events. And that'll pull up our actual calendar, and it'll tell you everything that's going on for the month. And there's a lot of fun gaming stuff. There's Monday Night Magic, casual
mm-hmm. Magic. Mm-hmm. We have tournaments every once in a while. Mm-hmm. We're picking up Pokemon again.
Yep. Ooh, yep. Those are on the off Thursdays that mm-hmm. Tag doesn't meet. On the other ones, we have Pokemon League now back up and running, which wasn't just us. That's the Pokemon company mm-hmm. that finally is like actually opening that back up for league play these days.
Nice.
Yeah,
so that'll be happening.
Hopefully mm-hmm. Adventure Society will start.
Opening
it up again too.
I feel like that's one of the next irons in the fire. It's just a little bit more to coordinate since it's like
it's a lot
groups
of tables.
Of people playing.
Yeah.
I would also like to mention we have a demo case full of all kinds of board games in the cafe as well that you are welcome to come and play.
Yeah,
there's a lot of really cool stuff in there.
It's the actual game cabinet.
It is.
whisper.
What are you guys whispering about?
I'm whispering to George that I'm stealing Stardew.
Oh yeah,
I didn't
stealing quote unquote.
I didn't steal it last week, and this week I'm going to because I really want to play that. I saw some kid looking through it, and I was like, "That does look fun. It looks very Agricola. I am stupid excited."
I mean, it looks like they boiled down Stardew Valley to being Stardew Valley.
Now it makes me want to play Stardew Valley.
I know, right? That's the only problem.
I finished up Baldur's Gate, so I'm like, "Crap, what am I supposed to do today for 8 hours?"
All right, guys. It's been fun.
It has been fun.
It's been real. It has actually been real fun.
Yeah. Real fun.
But with that, we'll put our Century Spice Bucks or our Century Boxes back into the cabinet, close it up, We'll see you guys next time.
Stop tapping your feet on the
microphone. Sorry. Nervous kick.
Why I say so.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.